scrubbing the towers, cooking the books for the shills that grease the skids.
Hi, this is Music is the Drug, the Cowboy Junkies podcast. I'm Dave Bowler, the band's biographer. Today we're looking back to the days when the century was young and the possibilities seemed endless. It's a time when Cowboy Junkies released One Soul Now, an album that has maybe got a bit lost in the catalogue, as we'll come on to later. One of the standout tracks on that album was Simon Keeper, although it was initially recorded for Open. We'll hear extracts from that original mix of the song, as well as Michael Timmins' songwriting demo as we go through today's episode. Simon Keeper comes from the hypnotic wing of the Junkies catalogue, a sound that envelops the listener, and one very much in the mould of an early influence, according to Alan Anton.
Yeah, that was a nice one. That was, I remember that one sort of reminded me of a Velvet Underground kind of vibe. It was like, somebody said it was like putting on a pair of comfortable slippers and just relaxing and feeling at home. That's what it felt to like to us when we were working on it. We just loved the whole feel of it. And again, I don't think that's even got a chorus change. I don't think it just cruises along. And that's another one we played live quite a lot and then stopped doing it after a while. Can't remember why we stopped, because it was working nicely live, so we might bring that back.
It's kind of got lost a little bit, because One Soul Now has got lost as an album in a way in your catalogue, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and there's we really have to sit down and pull out some old songs for the next couple of tours, I think, from that period, those records, because there's some that we haven't played in a long time. We put out a lot of records, so it's hard for us to keep track of. So never mind our fans, you know.
Well, I think, you know, One Soul Now is a collection of songs that don't necessarily all go together. You know, I think every one of our albums, I think I can honestly say whether it works or not, but whether, you know, each individual record works or not, they were honestly put together with, themes, like a thought through as far as what song went where and why a certain song was included. And, they hold together so that each song kind of informs the other song. So even the sort of the lesser known songs on a particular album are supported by the better known songs. With One Soul Now, I feel that we didn't really, or I didn't do that. You know, it was sort of a collection of songs I'd written for that record, other songs like this that we even recorded before, some bits of songs that I'd written and then rewrote for One Soul Now. It was sort of a, I don't know why. I'm not sure why I did that. It was time to make a record, and maybe I was too lazy to sort of start afresh. And I had all these ideas, anyways. I guess again, left over from Lay It Down, where we wrote a ton of songs and touring a lot, and so it made left over from Open. So maybe it was just a clearing out of the cabinet, so to speak. And so the songs don't really hang together, I find. Like there are still some, I think, some pretty good songs on One Soul Now, but they don't hang together as an album. And so a song like this, which is kind of, you know, vague, you know, it's not exactly in your face hit song. It can get lost. Like if you were to ask me what Simon Keeper was off of, I would have thought it was off of Open, you know. I didn't know it was off. And even songs like, you know, He Will Call You Baby. Like that's to me a great song. I really love that song. We still play it live, but I don't know that it's on One Soul Now. You know, it's just because there's not an overarching theme to that record. So individual songs can get lost that way, I find.
As Michael Timmins suggests there, some of the confusion about Simon Keeper's place in the catalogue comes from the fact that it was recorded well in advance of the other One Soul Now songs.
Yeah, this is written, it's actually recorded even for Open. We recorded it during those sessions. I don't know why we didn't include it on Open. It might have just been length, you know, you needed to get something off, and I'm not quite sure why we didn't use it. I remember really loving it when we did it, so And you know what we might have even recorded it. It was definitely the open band, and I know we recorded it in the same studio. Maybe we recorded it after those sessions, and because we were still touring with Karen and Linford, and so that might have been it. It might have been recorded after, and that's why it wasn't on open. But again, a fantastic recording. I love this recording. I love Linford's organ and his keyboards on this are fantastic, and mixed in with, you know, we got Yarrow in to do some accordion on this, and it's just the way the organ and the accordion just kind of go in and out of each other, and they really support the lyric, really sort of the tone of the lyric.
Now I ain't the most honest man.
Again, it's pretty ominous, and it's pretty unredemptive. You know, it's about a man who really is at the top of the world, and through his own misdeeds or his own greed, falls. I wouldn't say he falls to the cracks, because he's created his own world. And he falls and falls and falls and falls and loses things. And then through the irony of it being, of course, he starts to climb back out of the sewer by pretending to be a preacher, or by using the words of a preacher to, for his own redemption, which he doesn't really believe in, but, you know, it's handy and it works. So, it's about a very nasty man.
I mean, it's interesting that it was done for open. I mean, in some senses, it made more sense coming out, what, 3-4 years later on one song there, because, I mean, we'd had Enron by then. It kind of fit better into that world, didn't it?
It's true. It's true. And, you know, when I think about it, too, I remember writing it now, and we had just left, and the reason why, you know, I think this is a big metaphor for our experience with the major labels and, you know, dabbling for 10 years in the music biz, like, you know, seriously in it with, you know, major labels and managers and lunch meetings and all sorts of shit like that. And this, I think this is my response to this is Simon Kiepert to me is that world. It's the metaphor for that world. And now talking about it, I remember that that's when I wrote it. It's sort of, that's why it was written for around open, because that was our first record coming out of that world. And so yes, that's what this is. It's really a metaphor for it's a metaphor for, as you say, for big business and that sort of corporate greed and the sort of attitude that keeps that going.
I mean, again, it's a recurring theme. Because it's a recurring theme of the world, I suppose, but it's greed distorting individual morality, and that greed then bringing everything crashing down with it.
Kicked around about a year, living hand to mouth. And then one day, trying to bum a light, felt my will give out. Sat right down on the corner, started praying a little too loud. Left my troubles far behind. I saw them deep in their pockets out. Irony, oh, irony, you are a treacherous son of a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, distorting reality, morality, and then taking morality and using it for their own purposes to further bolster their greed, or, you know, to start again. It's just, it's kind of, it's a, it, you're right. It's a vicious circle. And now what this is it's a circle, right? It starts kind of him talking about his fall and how far he falls. And then he sort of stumbles on, he's on the street and stumbles on, he realizes that people are reckoning, you know, when he starts praying to himself, he realizes that people are paying attention. So he starts praying louder, and that brings him back up. He says, "Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one I can use."
Jesus was a carpenter. He died nailed to a wooden cross.
How does Margot feel when she gets lines like that?
I think she loves them. She can really dig into them. She really delivers this song really, really well, especially that line.
That's a wrap on today's episode, but things will be a little more normal next time. Before we're back, there's still time to pre-order the band's upcoming new album, Such Ferocious Beauty, at cowboyjunkies.com. While you're there, watch Pete Timmins' brilliant new videos for What I Lost and Hard to Build, Easy to Break. You can even buy the Music is the Drug book at the same time. It's all just a click away from the show notes. There are plenty of new Junkie shows coming up across North America over the rest of the year. Keep checking the website for news of them, and remember, if in doubt, always go to the show. Please subscribe to the podcast. Like it, share it, add reviews, and do all the social media things that alert the world these days. Thanks so much for your support. We really do appreciate it. And finally, if you're a Spotify user, you can follow our growing podcast playlist. All the details of that and everything else is in the show notes. We'll be back next week.